Well, Duke, how are things in Star Valley? I miss it.
Oh, yeah, Star Valley is fantastic. It's partly cloudy and 21 degrees right now. So not
and
bad at
snow?
All. Well, we had some snow over the weekend, but it looks like Kemmer's getting some snow, but not in Star Valley, at least not right now.
Well, as you know, I have a home in Star Valley, and I'm looking forward to being there soon, but right now I'm in Washington.
Yes, of course. Of course. Well, let's talk about what's going on in Washington, Senator. What a way to open up your term as Senator, by the way. Of course, everybody, you know how busy things get, but that was a wild ride, your first couple of days.
It was a wild ride. I got sworn in on a day when none of my family could attend because of the COVID. And then just a few days later was the vote on January 6th with regard to certifying the election. And everyone knows what a chaotic situation that was. Things began to settle down last week, although since the election in Georgia produced a Senate that has 50 Democrats and 50 Republicans, or at least the Independence Caucus with the Democrats, and so it is a 50-50 Senate, we still don't know what committees we're going to be on. Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell need to work out an agreement to share power and authority. And they have not come to an agreement. The Republicans are trying to protect the filibuster from being abrogated by the Democrats, because now with the Democrats having the House, this very split arrangement in the Senate where Vice President Kamala Harris could be the tiebreaker, and then having the White House as well, we want to make sure that rural areas, small states, are still having a voice in the U.S. Senate, and that's how you guarantee it, is by protecting the filibuster.
U.S. Senator Cynthia Lummis joining us live this morning. Well, Senator, let's talk about the impeachment articles that are expected to be sent to the Senate, I understand today from the House, against former President Donald Trump. Walk us through this process now that those are expected to go into the Senate. What happens after that, and what does it mean for Trump?
Well, there's debate about whether or not it's even constitutional to impeach someone who is no longer in office. That debate will be raised early on in either the trial or the pre-trial. There will be a couple of weeks allowing pre-trial briefs to be submitted and responsive briefs to be submitted. I think we're looking at a trial to begin around the 8th of February. Once a trial begins, no other business can be conducted, and we'll meet 6 days a week until the trial is completed. It is, I think, unfortunate. If I were Joe Biden, President Biden, I'd be really unhappy that the ability to move forward with his agenda, with confirming his appointees, is going to be sidestepped by this distraction of impeachment. Though the articles come over today, and once the articles come over, we are obligated on the Senate side to have a trial. It says the Senate shall have a trial. And the Members Act is jurors. So this hopefully will be over by the middle of February, but once the trial begins, it's hard telling how long it'll take.
Well, and as you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, in a split Senate right now and still some matters to be resolved there, I'm assuming all that should probably be wrapped up before the Senate would take up the trial. Is that correct?
No, that's a great question, and I don't know the answer to that either. If Chuck Schumer will not relent and insists on breaking the past practice of implementing a filibuster for legislation, this impasse could go on for a very, very long time. So, as one might expect, when there's only, 7 to 9 votes, of majority by the Democrats in the House, that's a very, very narrow margin of majority status. And then it's even slimmer, of course, in the Senate at 50-50. So we are in a very precarious place with regard to what legislation can be passed. What we're keeping an eye on a lot lately is the executive orders that are being signed by President Biden, some of which could affect Wyoming in a terribly negative way. He's already, as you know, closed the door on the Keystone Pipeline, which will destroy thousands of jobs and a tremendous amount of income for states. And he's considering signing an executive order that would prohibit leasing minerals on federal land. That's the one that Senator John Barrasso and I and other Western senators are really, really focused in on.
So as you focus in, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask you about that executive order. And obviously, as you said, a huge impact that would have on Wyoming if all those leases were put on hold. So what do you and Senator Barrasso, what's your plan of action, I guess? What do you do to try and help Wyoming in a situation like that?
Well, first, we're going to file legislation to prevent, hopefully, the president from doing that. It would be a prohibition on limiting leasing or preventing leasing without an act of Congress, which is as it should be. These are big decisions that should be handled by the Congress, not via executive order. A stroke of a pen that has that consequential an impact is just the wrong way to handle policy. So we'll file that bill this week. There are going to be many Western members of the U.S. Senate on that bill. A companion bill will also be filed in the House. So, and while that bill is pending, it weakens the hand of the president to sign an executive order in contravention of a piece of legislation. So that's the strategy of the week on that issue.
U.S. Senator Cynthia Lummis joining us live this morning on the Weekday Wake Up in Western Wyoming. Senator, as you look at some of the other issues and whether they're executive orders or not, what are some of the big topics that you see in Washington, D.C. with the biggest impact on Wyoming currently right now, and how are you approaching those?
Well, the COVID bill, the new COVID relief bill that the Biden administration is touting is very unacceptable to a bipartisan group of senators who've had a chance to review it early. The last number I saw was about $1.9 trillion. First of all, that is an exorbitant amount of money, nothing that makes sense given our $27 trillion of debt. And in addition, it bails out states that have been far less responsible in their spending than Wyoming has been. And I don't think that bills like this should be used as a bailout. The people, not the government, is what's suffering with COVID. So if they want to talk about unemployment benefits or PPP, so we have adequate vaccine and the ability to distribute it quickly, having adequate supplies for hospitals and other medical providers. Those are the things that should be in a bill like this, not a bailout for state governments that have been financially irresponsible.
One of the portions, I'm pretty sure it's the same bill, correct me if not, but of course, even President Trump called for this when he was still in office, but the $2,000 stimulus payments to taxpayers and Americans. President Biden now saying he wants to do a $1,400 payment, so to add it to the six to make it $2,000. What's your stance on that? Is that something that, given the budget deficit, as you mentioned, is something feasible for the U.S. government to be doing?
Yeah, I'm very concerned about those numbers. We want to make sure that the way to get past this COVID crisis has been just to open the economy, have people go back to work. We can wear masks and be socially distant and be practical and responsible, but still have an open economy. Paying people, because you have taken their jobs and their ability to work away from them by having extreme restrictions, is the problem. So we need to get government out of the way once again, trust people to be pragmatic and use common sense with regard to the way they engage in commerce. And then reopen our economy and let's get this thing going again. We cannot continue this clamped down effort that is much harder on small business than it is on large businesses. And heaven knows, small business is the heartbeat of Star Valley. So it is just critical that we get the economy reopened and not give people handouts. People don't want handouts. They want to get back to work.
Again, with U.S. Senator Cynthia Lummis. Senator, if we can, let's switch gears and talk immigration. Another one of the executive orders, actually a handful of the executive orders, had to do with immigration, and the border wall was highlighted on that. Where does immigration go from here, especially on the southern border of the United States?
Well, we understand that there will be a comprehensive immigration reform bill coming from the White House. I was really disappointed in the executive order to stop building the wall. If you talk to ICE agents who actually work right on the border, boots on the ground people, they know that the wall has helped with limiting the flow of drugs and human trafficking in areas where the wall exists. And we would be far better off to continue to deploy the materials and the manpower that are available to continue to build the wall. But that's not going to happen, and it's hugely disappointing. Then you see the people coming from Honduras and other Central American countries crossing Mexico once again because they believe that once they hit the U.S. border that they'll be allowed to cross quickly. President Trump, when he was in office, was able to stop that. The people who have been in line for 5, 10 years and more should be the ones who we process and allow to come legally into this country, not people who just decided in the last few months that, gee, they want to come to America to get a job. Mexico was handling it when President Trump was working with the Mexican government to try to keep those seeking asylum on the Mexico side of the border. All indications are that President Biden will now let those people come into the U.S. and is preventing the deportation of people who are here and have been processed as illegally in the country. Now they're not going to deport them either. So it looks like the Biden administration from day one reinstated a completely porous border, and even Governor Greg Abbott of Texas is suing the federal government because his state has been so heavily involved in trying to work with ICE to remediate some of the problems that having a porous border creates for his state of Texas. So we're in a whole new and very difficult political environment.
Senator, really appreciate you giving us some of your time this morning to speak with us in Western Wyoming. Just a final question for you this morning. A lot of division, as you know, across America, but even in Wyoming, and those that that have been voting Republican, division on who to support and how far to go and what to do and what not to do. What is your message to Wyoming residents in a time where everything seems to be so divisive right now?
Well, and thanks for the question, because we just need to turn down the rhetoric. Everybody needs to take a deep breath, and we need to be able to move the country forward and not spend our time, waste our time throwing stones at each other, being so negative. I think it's very important that we make efforts to work together as much as possible. And there is going to be broad division among us. I mean, look, we have a three-member delegation in the U.S. Senate. Each of us went a different direction. I voted not to accept the Pennsylvania certification. John stayed neutral, and now Liz Cheney has supported impeachment. You just, even among one three-member delegation, cannot get more diverse responses. And I think that that is emblematic of how challenging this is and how reasonable minds can differ on these issues. So I think the important thing for people to remember is we're all grappling with an extremely tense time in our country, and we need to be as kind and careful in the way we discuss these issues as we have ever been, because having this divisive rhetoric only further exacerbates the problems, the very challenging problems that we're going to face. And we're going to do it responsibly. We're going to work our way through this. America's going to come out stronger. We're just in that very, very bottom of the J curve, so to speak, that is a very challenging time. But it's going to be a strong America that emerges from these difficult times. I'm confident that Wyoming people will participate in a healthy discussion, a healthy debate, and help our country become strong again.
U.S. Senator Cynthia Lummis with us live this morning on the Weekday Wake Up. Senator, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.